It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, wow. How weird.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts. It's Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Kimbra. She is back with a new album called A Reckoning. It's an album that finds her teaming up with Ryan Lott of Sun Lux, big fan of Ryan. We're going to discuss being attracted to chaos, writing more direct and less whimsical than in the past, and also being a believer in shared vulnerability. All of those traits, Kimbra says, makes their way into this album. She's going to go on to talk about why anger and rage are important life forces, the lack of good examples most women have, and how her Playing With Fire podcasts acts as a companion to the LP as well. All that and more, we're talking A Reckoning. It's Kyle Meredith with Kimbra.
Hi, Kyle. So good to be here. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. I want to throw the compliments to you. I've been such a fan of what you've been doing over the past decade and more, I guess, at this point. But this new record, A Reckoning, is such a fun listen. It's such a heavy listen at times. And that's always a really interesting, I don't want to say trick to pull off, because I know it's not a trick. I mean, people work hard at this, but you do it so well. So my compliments right at the beginning.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
So let's hear about where this sets up. This goes back, I know you've done this pre-pandemic and everything. You're on tour and working with Ryan at the time from Sun Lux, who I'm a big fan of, and you start dreaming up what this record's going to be. What was the dream that you wanted this record to be? Because it does feel very specific.
Yeah, totally. So glad you hear that. Yeah, I think at this stage, we're four albums in, you have to ask yourself, like, what's the point of a producer? What's the role? There's still a point. I love working with producers, but, you know, I don't just want to pick anyone nowadays. It's got to feel like they can bring something that I haven't yet explored, or access a perspective that is perhaps difficult for me to get to on my own. So, you know, I would hear Sun Lux every night, and I'd hear this really angular approach, really metallic, and sometimes like kind of violent in the way they'd execute things. And I knew I wanted to make a confrontational record. We were, you know, all going through basically the apocalypse at the time. And I was like, man, we need to wake up, right? We need to wake up to the racial reckonings in our world, the health reckonings, the kind of, yeah, mental health epidemic. I mean, there was so much going on. And, you know, how do you find a way to execute that sort of aggression but keep it fun, like you said, like not also weigh people down with just another kind of, you know, heavy idea that doesn't leave you with any hope. I think hope is central to my work. So I pitched the idea. I was like, look, I'll bring the hooks, the breathy R&B thing, and you give me that backbone, you know, that real backbone. And, you know, I'm attracted to minimalism always, even though I haven't been super successful at achieving it. It's like, I feel like I'm such a maximalist in the way I make music, but as always, you're attracted to the opposite, right? And I knew that we could get closer to minimalism if I chose a producer like him, who's so curated with his sounds, like he crafts them, you know? And if you can nail three or four incredibly, you know, iconic feelings or synthesizer sounds or drum approaches, you can afford to just be very simple in your approach and let the vocal just tell the whole story. So that was the aim with the record. We'll see, you know, if we achieved it with how people receive the record, but I'm really proud of it, man. I love the record. I bump it myself and I'm like, hell yeah. So that's always a good sign if the artist is really feeling it. I think that's a real achievement, because, you know, sometimes you get to the end of this process and you really can't stand listening to the tracks anymore.
Well, it's interesting the way you talk about, you know, the way you go for things. Like I've heard you say too, like, you know, wanting to make it more dangerous. You use words like dangerous when you come to it. I mean, even when you're in, and we'll talk about the podcast you've been doing later too, with Playing With Fire. I hear you talking about that too. Like, there's this element of danger that you seek in your music. What is that attraction? Because as you said, you're still making a pop album. You know, there are still the bangers there.
Well, maybe it's an attraction to chaos, because I think chaos is kind of this primordial like state. And I like chaos because then it allows me room to create order, because I'm also very ordered. Like, you know what I mean? I love to like put things into place, and like I'll sit comping a drum take forever and like, you know, wrangling, taming it into submission. But first there needs to be chaos, there needs to be a jumping into the unknown to access something, that elixir of authenticity, you know, that very human slight kind of fear in your eyes, but then you just go for it, right? I like to think of a reckoning as like the 4 seconds before you react, right? You know, that moment right before you're either going to explode at someone or you're going to peacefully, you know, approach. So that 4 seconds, what does that sound like? That hovering, that just right before you take the plunge. I love that, you know, I love that. And yeah, I don't know where the attraction comes from. I think it's continuing to like push myself. I just don't want to get bored. And I'm trying to access something in me that I haven't seen before.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kimbra. Talking about Reckoning and naming the album a Reckoning, because I guess when I've listened to your lyrics, you know, they've always seemed biographical as much as I perceive them anyway. And that's always up for debate when you're the listener and everything. But you know, as we talk, I guess what I'm getting to is, if this is so much about facing yourself and those moments that you're getting at, what makes it different than how you've written in the past, if at all?
No, I've been more whimsical in the past. I think I've played with, it's always been honest, but you know, I think I've liked to dance around the story a bit, create a fantasy, you know. It's been a bit of an escapism. If you look at a song like Settle Down, for example, it's like, you know, it's a fantasy. It's a sort of, it's a question, a hovering question, but not really a landing on what, it's not really an assertion of who I am. There's a searching, right? Obviously, like in your 20s, you don't know what the hell you're doing, and you're working out who you are through your music. Now, I wouldn't say I've landed. No one's landed, but I am, you know, 32. I mean, I understand womanhood in a different way. I understand sexuality in a different way. I understand my role in the political climate. For a long time, I was very like, I'm a New Zealander, you know, what do I have to say about American culture? And, you know, I'll just stay on the sidelines and make my sort of escapist music. But I think there's something grounded about the new work, where there's a boldness, there's an assertion of who I am and who I'm not. You know, there's songs on the record like about Los Angeles and like how I tried to fit in with that crowd and how it's like, it's just not my, you know, it's just, there's a certain type of guy from LA that, you know, I had fun with it. And I was like, it's just not for me. You know, it's like, I wouldn't have had the courage to maybe make those sorts of statements when I was young, or talk about, you know, have a song like Gun, which is like really about the oppression of, you know, men in the music industry that I've had to sort of really, you know, wrestle with and find my confidence to say things like that. So yes, it's always been biographical, you're right, but I think there's, each time I make a record, I'm learning to look people in the eye more rather than sort of, you know, gesticulate with my hands and distract and sort of, you know, over here, over here. It's like really getting, it's really getting real now. And I love that, you know, it's like the beauty of art is it can just kind of stare you in the face and say things that you're a bit scared to say to yourself, you know?
Well, that I guess leads in really well to that opening track, because the opening track, you get Save Me, which, you know, in itself, those two words together, you know, however that, whether it's a plea, you know, whether it's a prayer, you know, whether it's a statement, whatever, I guess the easy way to ask it is, how did you want that to speak for what the rest of the record, like, how does that set up the record for you?
Yeah, well, it's all about setting a tone, right? I think of like the gong in meditation that just kind of like settles the room. And the tone for A Reckoning needed to be vulnerability first. Like, I can't go preach to people about what I think A Reckoning is if I'm not going to, I don't believe in that. I'm a big believer in shared vulnerability. You know, if you open up to me, I'll open up to you. So I think Save Me was like, here's a bunch of stuff that I don't really want to say about myself, but it's true. I'm just going to say it. I wrote it for a therapy session. My therapist said, just say the things that really sort of unsexy to say, you know? I lack the courage to take care of myself. Whew, no woman in this era, who, you know, where it's all about empowerment, no woman wants to admit that to themselves, you know? So if I could start from that place, and then come in with Replay and be like, oh, you thought you knew? No. We're going into the neuroses now. We're going into the darkness. And we'll emerge. We'll come, you know, I mean, it's always, there's always hope at the end. But yeah, I really like that you picked up on that, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do is with the opening of an album, is set a tone and a prayer. I love that. Like a prayer for the rest of the record and a safety. That you're not going into this alone, you know, we're going into it together. It's a relationship, you know, the listener and the artist, we're entering into a relationship together.
If it is a journey in that way, does it continue throughout? Because, and when you get to that, the end of the album, you know, you'll have, I Don't Want to Fight. And when I think of that in relation to Save Me, you know, again, the directions you can go as far as how you take that in, a resignment almost. You know, the way you talk about meditation and just giving in. I mean, do you think of it in that way? Or is that, where do we end on the record?
You nailed it. I mean, that's it. It's like, there's a surrender, right? There's a, you know, a fight at the core of the record. There's a protest. There's a like resilience that's building. But then there's also this kind of like, yeah, I mean, resignation sounds like there's no hope, but really, but in some ways that is a surrender and a letting go, right? To say, I just don't want to fight anymore. I just don't. I'm done with the conflict. Who am, you know, the lyric, who am I kidding? You know, I just keep letting you down. There's sort of like a feeling of you're always going to lose in some ways with violence and with aggression. You know, the thing about anger and rage is it's a very important life force. Like it's, we wouldn't have so much of the world we have now without the anger of, you know, of certain people fighting back. But when it's misdirected, like it's basically what's wrong with our entire world is like anger. I'd go so far to say probably mainly in men that hasn't, you know, but also for women, like we don't have a lot of good examples. We have the hysterical, manic woman, you know, crazy. That's sort of all we get. We don't get a lot of healthy, really grounded, controlled channeling of anger. So I think conflict was central to the exploration of this album. And, you know, you get maddening versions of it, right? Like, and then you get these really like, yeah, just kind of contemplative, reflective, letting go. And that's where the record ends. And you know, I don't think a record should be tied up with a bow. I think it should always leave, you know, the listener open to what's next. But we're looking at anger from lots of different sides. I think that's the key. And we're looking at vitality, because anger is also linked to sexuality and, like, you know, life force and energy, right? So I think every song is a little portal into that. And yeah, the track listing order is absolutely intentional. Like, I'll never give up the album format. I never, just so important to me.
Really happy to hear that. I mean, that's how I grew up listening to it. So of course that's what I want out of the experience. I don't want to say expect it, but it's what I hope for out of the experience. And that's definitely what I get on this. I mean, the ellipses at the end there, I do love that, because, you know, the story is never finished. And in as much as we're talking about the heavier side of this, you know, there is the fun part, as I mentioned at the beginning too, LA Type, as you brought up. I mean, that's such a fun sound that's happening in that, you know, and that groove. And then when we get the GLT, is that the name of the song? GLT?
Yeah.
Are you calling someone out in that? Like, are you calling someone specific out in that? Or is this an idea of a person?
Well, the voice message that you hear on the intro and outro is consensual. I didn't just definitely calling people out. I mean, I think that's like part of growing up and, you know, realizing that it's okay to have strong preference, and it's okay to like be brash and strong and courageous about like what you don't like. I always say to young producers, work out what you don't like and it'll lead you to what you do. Right. So like, instead of thinking about just having really great taste and preference for different things, like work out what you really don't like, what you really, that is not me. You know, that's a really strong decision, I think, when we do that. And it takes us confidence to do that, because especially as women as well, we're people pleasing. We don't want to like, I don't want to make anyone feel, you know, but Girl Like That is just like she's sassy, man. You know, she's like, you want to put me in this box? You want to put me in that box? You want to like, no. And it's so fun to take on these characters, because like, I don't have that sort of confidence every day, but in that song, I sure as hell do. You know, when I play that live, I am that girl. And I think that's how we vicariously live through music we hear, because we need it for our own courage. Like, we don't have that on our own sometimes. That's why Beyonce is Beyonce, because we all need that inner Beyonce, right? We need it.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kimbra. And I want to quickly hit on the podcast too, because how does that work? Do you find that what you're seeking, whatever that is, in Playing with Fire, and that's the new podcast title, do you find that it works in conjunction with what's going on with A Reckoning?
Yeah, because it's the facing ourselves in conversation. It's the same thing. I've always been like in love with first impressions. When I worked on my record, The Golden Echo, I used to bring Thundercat in and Bilal, all kinds of artists, and I'd just play them the song, and they had to write their part on the spot. They didn't get to listen to it before, because I knew that the first thing they'd do was going to be spontaneous, unanalyzed, you know? And in the same way, I had all these artists and these people that I wanted to meet. And I was going out to LA and I was like, why don't I just bring a USB mic and record us meeting, you know? So a lot of those conversations are the first time I'm coming sort of face to face with this person that I admire. And then other ones are, you know, longtime collaborators like Jacob Collier, who I'm just like, yo, every time we talk, it's so revelatory. We should just be recording this, you know? And spirit is hard to talk about, because in my experience, I've always had people be very reductionist, or what's the word, like we just, as soon as anyone talks out about anything religious or spiritual, they get labeled. It's like, oh, this person's a, you know, and it's really awful, because you don't get the nuance to be able to be like, well, I sort of believe in this, but I'm really deconstructing this. And, you know, and I think I just wanted a really safe space to be able to share what is kind of the driving force of why I make music. You know, I make music to touch the transcendent, right? So, and actually, it's funny, as you talk to more artists, a lot do, but they won't openly be like, I'm seeking God in my music, because, you know, it's like a bit of a, you know, it's also a really loaded word. So I was trying to like find another word that could be really inclusive as well. But yeah, when you go there with people, you stop talking about like, oh, how'd you get that hi-hat sound in track four? Like, kind of, you know, we have a million podcasts doing that. I was like, tell me a moment that changed your life and you feel like maybe you broke open the ceiling of human consciousness. I'm way more interested in that.
I had wondered, sort of fly on the wall, fan style, you know, are these the type of conversations that you would find yourself having backstage in? You know, but it doesn't sound like it does. It sounds like this is the platform that you're able to get to because that sort of might not exist in the real world.
Yeah, I think it was that. I think it was, we're not having enough of these conversations. So let's get really intentional about it. And playing with fire is like, let's ask some hard questions too. Let's play with that kind of like, because it's a really hard topic to talk about because no one has one up on the other. We're all guessing about the afterlife, about all kinds of things, right? So I like that democratic kind of like space of like, well, no one can really take the lead here. And how many platforms do we have to be really humble about just where we're all at?
So what have you gotten out of it so far? Are you able to define that just yet?
I'm interested in how hard, it's quite hard to gauge how a podcast is connecting, isn't it? Because you've kind of, I guess, do you check Instagram comments? Is a bit different. There's not really reviews. And yeah, I found it interesting having a podcast. People are like, how's it going? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think good. But I always knew that it was going to be like a very much a little side. Obviously don't have a name for being a podcaster, but I'm just looking for diverse ways to express myself, to stay sane, honestly. Like, it gets really hard to just work on music. And I've done this professionally since I was about 14. I got signed when I was 17. I haven't done anything else, you know? So it's like, that's my fulfillment, is that I get to like have another mode of expression. And honestly, if it just makes someone else feel a little less like they're wandering out in the desert, and that there's other people that think like them, like, that's fine. I don't need it to blow up. Like, I just want it to be a friend, because that's what podcasts are to me. It's just like, you know, walking to the subway and I'm like, oh, thank God someone else thinks that too.
Well, it's exactly what I've loved listening to lately. I mean, these type of conversations, as you said, they don't happen everywhere. So, you know, thanks for driving this lane right here. Thanks for playing with fire and asking those hard questions.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you connect with it, man.
And again, congratulations on A Reckoning. This is such a great record. And Kimbra, it's been so much fun talking to you. Thanks for taking the time.
You too. And thanks for the thoughtful questions and deep dive. I appreciate it.
And my thanks to Kimbra. Again, the new album is called A Reckoning. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Again, it's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artist and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And thanks for the thoughtful questions and deep dive. I appreciate it.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.